I want to welcome everybody to the Rock Church. I know that at your campus, people are still coming in and grabbing their seat. My name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors that serves on our leadership team. If we have never met yet, it is good to meet you across the screen and in the room. And shout out to all of our campuses. If you didn't know it, we are one church across six locations. How many? Six locations, five in San Diego, one in Hawaii. Oh, I love that campus. Oh my goodness. So shout out to Pastor Mark in our Oahu campus, and then we'll go up north to Pastor Mario in San Marcos. We'll go out to El Cajon, Pastor Phil in our El Cajon campus. City Heights, Pastor Ryan, our City Heights campus pastor. Chula Vista just got a new spot. Pastor Nemo and Jessica. And then right here in Point Loma, your campus pastor, Ty. I think they're all doing a great job. Let's just thank our campus pastors for doing an awesome job. Man, God bless you all. We have a great day in store for you as we continue through our series on the book of Mark. How many have been enjoying our series, walking through the book of Mark? Amen. I think we're going to enjoy today. A couple of notes, though. One is that Pastor Miles is sick today, and so he called me short notice, but we're praying for him. He has pneumonia. And so, yeah, he sent me this picture with the mask, and it looked like he was falling apart and dying, and then we talked a little bit. Hello. Sound like that guy from Batman, you know, but Pastor, we're praying for you. We love you, and we're believing that God's got you covered. And so we just speak blessings and health. We declare the blood of Jesus over your life, and we command the pneumonia to go in Jesus' name. Can I get a good amen? Do you agree with that prayer? Amen. Next week, though, come back because we're going to keep going, keep marching. Couldn't think of a better week to be back in church. What's next week? Ladies, if you can just hold it for a second, and I'm going to ask the fellas, what is next Sunday? Very good, very good, very good. It's Mother's Day. About half of our campus has just got put on notice right now. Right now. The good news is your phone's in your pocket and Instagram is going to start sending you ads on things that you can buy for Mother's Day, okay? They're going to make it easy for you. Next Sunday's Mother's Day, come back here. Be thinking about just one person that you're going to be inviting or just that one family. It is going to be a great Sunday. Let me pray for us and then we'll continue in our word today. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We believe that it's a great day because you're here. It's a great day because you're in control of it. It's a great day because we are preaching your word and listening to your scriptures. So we invite you into our hearts in this time. We decrease, all of us, so that you may increase through us. We lift up our pastor to you and we ask that you would heal him, give him great rest today, and that he'd be back better than ever for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord one more time. Come on, church, just clap your hands. Thank the Lord. He's good and faithful. We have been marching through the gospel according to Mark. If you have a Bible with you, the second half of it is called the New Testament, which really means covenant. There's a relationship. There's an Old Testament, old relationship with God, and then a New Testament, a new relationship with God. The old one was based on things that you would do, Ten Commandments and sort. And then you get this New Testament, which is a new relationship covenant based on the blood of Jesus. In the beginning of that new covenant, New Testament, are these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've been going through Mark, their gospel accounts. And the gospel is just the good news, the good message of Jesus Christ. And so Matthew has the gospel according to Matthew, and he's taking eyewitness account of what was happening in the life of Jesus. Mark was written by John Mark. He doesn't have the eyewitness account, but he asked Peter, give me the eyewitness account of what was Jesus like? What was his ministry like? So we've been going through the book of Mark, and last week I want to pick back up because it kind of got a pivot. Pastor Miles is sick, I'm jumping in, but I want to anchor on the last verse that he read in Mark chapter 1, verse 8. And this is what it says, I baptize you with water. Hold on right there. Who is that person that is baptizing with water? Anybody know? You've been paying attention the last few weeks. Who is that? John. That's John the Baptist, absolutely. John the Baptist. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So if John baptizes with water, who's he? It's Jesus. This is not a pop quiz. We're not going to do this the whole time, but I just kind of want to see if you've been paying attention. So John baptizes with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so John is saying, I can wash you, pay attention, on the outside. But he, Jesus, is going to baptize you, Greek word baptizo, to immerse, to overwhelm you, immerse you into the Holy Spirit, and he will wash you on the inside. John's going to do water baptism, cleanse you on the outside, but Jesus is coming to baptize you, immerse you into the Holy Spirit who will cleanse you on the inside. I want to do a little deeper dive on the Holy Spirit today, because if we're honest, the Holy Spirit is one of the most misunderstood doctrines of the faith. The Holy Spirit is one of the most misrepresented persons in the Trinity. And what's happening, or what was happening 2,000 years ago in Scripture is still happening today. In Acts chapter 19, Paul finds this group of believers similar to what we have today. And this is what it says in verse 1. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And I can identify with this because I grew up in church and I knew Jesus from a very young age and I knew all about him, and I would go to Sunday school and they had this thing called the flannograph. The flannograph were little cutouts of Jesus and they would put it on this board, and then when Jesus was far away, they used a little tiny flannel piece of Jesus, and then they would walk him down and he's getting closer, and then they would put a bigger piece of flannel on that board right there. And I learned about Jesus in Sunday school. I learned about the Father, and he's the creator, and I have a relationship with him. But I didn't really learn about this other person called the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that's your testimony. That's part of my testimony. But what's happening today already happened 2,000 years ago. These believers go, we didn't even know. In fact, that's maybe your relationship with the Holy Spirit. You didn't even know there was this guy called the Holy Spirit. Church people, not just those people, but church people still struggle with the Holy Spirit. If you want to talk about one of the things that divides the church, it's this topic right here, the Holy Spirit. Some people don't want to know the Holy Spirit, or some people have forgotten the Holy Spirit. And many people, although they know him, just see him incorrectly, because when you think about the Holy Spirit, you tend to think of spiritual gifts, mainly the outward expression. More specifically, look up here, tongues. Uh-oh, ooh, you just got a little tight in your seat when I said that word. Prophecy, signs, wonders, miracles, and all of those, don't miss it, are real, and all of those are biblical, all of those are important, and all of those are non-negotiable. But here's the tension. You can have moments of spiritual activity and still be missing spiritual maturity. Oh man, let that hit you where it hits you. You can have all of this stuff, signs and wonders and tongues, but if I'm missing spiritual maturity, I've missed it. So it's not just, hey, you were filled with the Spirit. You speak in tongues, you prophesied. No, it's also, do you have love in your life? Do you walk in peace? Are you operating in self-control? That is the fruit of the Spirit, because the full evidence of a life baptized in the Holy Spirit is not just what comes out of you in powerful moments, but it's what's being formed in you over time, formed inside of you. The gifts of the Spirit show what God can do through you, and the fruit of the Spirit shows what God is doing in you. It's inside, there's a transformation happening, but as followers, we gotta pay attention, because there is this internal, inside battle that's taking place, that's being waged between what God's Spirit wants and what our flesh selfishly desires. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You can talk to me back with this point. What is the worst time to go grocery shopping? Anybody know? When you're hungry. Can I get an amen? When you're hungry, okay? Not 2 o'clock, unless that's when you're hungry. But I'm guilty of this, going to the grocery store when I'm hungry, and Vanessa will send me out usually on Sunday night, and we kind of go back and forth and rotate who's gonna do the grocery shopping before the week, and I'll try to, hey, I'll go, no worries, but I'm excited because I'm hungry. And my spirit says, go to the organic section and pick out some berries and green things. But the flesh says, let's go see the cereal aisle. My kids got me this bowl last Father's Day. It says cereal killer, because I'll just tear up some Captain Crunch. I will tear it up with the biggest bowl and the biggest spoon I can find. And so I'm looking at Captain Crunch, and I'm looking at Lucky Charms, because they're magically delicious. And I'm looking at Fruit Loops and Rice Krispies, but the kind that has the chocolate on them, not the regular Rice Krispies, because that's a little bit too healthy, you know what I mean? And I'm looking at these because when I was a kid, I couldn't eat any of those cereals. But now I'm an adult, and I make adult money, and I can buy whatever cereal I want. I can get whatever kind of sugar snacks I want. So I'm in there just bop, 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 grabbing it. But there's a tension, you with me? Between what my flesh wants and what my spirit wants. And this is important to recognize because you are not at odds with the Holy Spirit, but your flesh is. You are not at odds with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit wants to do in you. Your flesh is. It's your sin nature. I want the Holy Spirit. You should want everything that God, the Holy Spirit, has to offer. His signs, his wonders, his wisdom. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me today. But there is a battle being waged between the desires of the flesh and the desires of the spirit. So you can either, two options, bow to the flesh, whatever you want to do, Travis, just go ahead and do it, or you can yield to the spirit. What are you going to do today? Am I going to bow to the flesh? Or am I going to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit that wants to produce a good fruit in me? God is inviting us today to yield to his spirit and to fight for the fruit of the spirit in our lives. Years ago, 80s, 70s, I think, there was a comedian that I'm not recommending you go look up. I just remember him, okay? So don't go back. He was talking about this guy. His name was Gallagher. Anybody remember Gallagher? It's kind of old school. I don't know anything about him except I remember that he came to town one year when I was a kid and the promotion was that he would smash fruit on stage. And he would take these giant pieces of fruit and this smashing hammer, and in the front row, they would wear waterproof jackets and they had umbrellas and everybody was getting all excited. Anybody remember Gallagher? And he would put it up here and he would, boom, and everybody would love it. Ah, ha, 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 and they just get splashed with watermelon. They got the thing and hit me, Gallagher, you can't hit me, I'll get you, bam. And by the end of the show, it just looks like, you know, Tropicana fruit all over the whole audience, just juice everywhere. Juice was coming out of the fruit. Why? Because what comes out is just evidence of what was inside the whole time. Okay, don't miss this. Write this down. What comes out of my life gives evidence to what or who is leading my life from the inside. What comes out of my life gives evidence to what or who is leading my life from the inside. So the evidence that you are actually filled with the Holy Spirit and the evidence that you have the indwelling power, the breath of the Holy Spirit, isn't solely tongues or prophecy or miracles. Look at me, those happen, but instead it's the fruit of the Spirit. If you prophesy, the scripture says, but you don't have love, then you're nothing. It's a hard verse to read. I know some mean prophets and I know some angry prayer warriors. So the scriptures say, that's awesome that you can prophesy, but if you don't have love, you're nothing. And so the proof is in the fruit. If I had to give this message a title, that's what I title it. The proof is in the fruit. The proof is in the fruit is what is coming out of you. And I want to show it to you in scripture. If you got your word, go to Galatians chapter 5, and I'll read verses 16 to 25. Out of the NIV, it says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit. Everybody say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are so obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I've already done, I did it before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, forbearance, which is also called patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the flesh is really our sinful nature. The flesh is our sinful nature, and it produces death. We were born into this, by the way. You didn't have an option. You were born into this world that is broken, been broken since our first father Adam sinned, and sin entered the world, and now we live in it. And so we come in with this flesh and this sinful nature, but the acts of the flesh are obvious. I'll read it to you again. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. What does that word mean? That just means excessive indulgence in all kinds of immoral activity. So it kind of just groups up whatever you're doing. Sexual morality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry. What's idolatry? That is when you put anything before God that you think you have to have, where God is optional, but my job I have to have. That's an idol. I can get a little bit of God. I'll come once a month, I'll come to church, but I gotta have this relationship. If I don't have this relationship, my whole world falls apart. What about God? I can get some God too. That relationship is an idol. And so the flesh, sinful nature, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual morality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft. By the way, we don't need your sage. We don't need your Santeria. We don't need your crystals. We don't need your Ouija board. You don't need any of those demonic activities. Anytime you're looking for a spirit who is not God, it is from the pit of hell. I don't look to any other spirit for an answer that is not from the Holy Spirit. So you could go home today and put that thing in the garbage can and burn it in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, amen. Just get rid of it. And you're going, I don't know why my life's so crazy, because you got them crazy candles behind the couch. Every time I sit down, I get a headache. I'm saying, kick the candle. It's real stuff. Witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. Just cry out when I name your sin. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, et cetera, et cetera. I think you get the point. It just goes on and on and on. And Paul says in verse 21, hey, here's a warning. Don't live like that. Don't do that. You will not inherit what God has planned for you. You want what you want, but you keep living how you're living. You will not inherit what you want. And by the way, I've said this before, says Paul, those ways lead to death. Romans 8, verse 5 and 6, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. And so Paul writes these very personal letters to these churches, and he goes, please, 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 I don't do this. Don't live this way. Don't keep living this pattern that you've been living. Not only will you not get God's blessing, but there's things that are gonna be dying soon. And I know this is hard, and I'm just talking like it's easy, because you're started already to start thinking of something in Oahu or San Marcos. You're thinking of something already. The moment I said, hey, don't do these things, things started to come to your mind. And it's so hard because sin is so tempting. Sin can be so alluring. And how many, by show of hands, we'll just do a survey, would say and agree that sometimes sin can be a little bit of fun? Okay, keep your hand up. Those that don't have their hand up are lying right now, or you didn't do it right when you sinned. There's an old saying that says, sin thrills and then it kills. Sin fascinates, then it assassinates. It kills your marriage, it assassinates relationship with God, it kills your finances, it assassinates relationships with your kids, your children, your future opportunities. And like Paul gave a second warning, I think God came to send me today to tell you that this is your final warning for some of you. You can't keep living this way. Something precious is about to die because you're living out of the flesh, and it's so obvious, isn't it? These things produce death. There is a battle being waged right now between the flesh and the Spirit. And the ways of the flesh are obvious, and they lead to death. And then Paul goes down to verse 22, and he contrasts the flesh with the things of the Spirit. Now, your spirit is your holy nature. Your spirit is your holy nature. While the flesh is your sin nature and produces death, go back to the other one. Your spirit is your holy nature that produces good fruit. One produces death, one produces good fruit. And Paul says, well, it's clear, it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's self-control. The list is perfect and it's powerful. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, it's self-control. Shout out to Hobby Lobby for a good old sign on Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. And I just know there's somebody that came to church today and the ways of the flesh in your life right now are so obvious. And there's things that are being produced that are dying right now. And you're thinking, man, I could use some love right now because all I feel is hate. And there's somebody in El Cajon right now that's going, I don't have that. I don't have joy. All I have is sadness. Could I submit to you that the reason you have sadness, well, there are things that just happen, that for some of you, it's because of the decisions that you've made in the flesh. And because of the poor decisions that you've made in the flesh, not in the spirit, you are now living in sadness. There is no joy. I need some peace in my life. It's in the spirit. I need some patience because, man, I'm always just saying, What do you think? Just so impatient. It's kindness, just rude. Goodness, faithfulness, fellas, gentleness. The ladies are like fine china, and fellas, you're like a bucket of Tupperware. And so when the scriptures say that they're the weaker vessel, they're not lesser, they're precious vessel. And they need you, don't miss it, guys, to be gentle. And when you're in the flesh, you don't look gentle. But when you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, filling you, overwhelming you, you become gentle. Self-control. Self-control. This type of life, that type of fruit is only found when you're living a life filled by the Holy Spirit where he's leading you by his power. So how can we fight for this? How can we fight for the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Three quick takeaways with the rest of the time I have left. I gotta go quick. Number one, I keep in step with the Spirit. I keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, I want to stay with the Spirit. Galatians 5:24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I got to keep in step with the Spirit. Would you clap with me? Come on, keep in step with the Spirit. I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit. I'm not out of step, I'm not overstep, I'm not behind the step, I'm not in front of step. I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. I'm right there with them. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. But if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. I want this fruit. I want the evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't just want the power, but I want love and I want kindness. I want the world to take notice. In fact, the scriptures tell us that this is how the world will know that you're my disciples, by the way that you love one another. That's how they're put on notice, by the fruit that is coming out of your life. I gotta stay and I gotta remain. My daughter 2 weeks ago broke her pinky toe. And she's a dancer, and so it's a big deal for us. And she does competitive dance, and she had to miss a competition. She's got one coming up. And so this past week, she was standing on a couch, and all she did was step down and kind of bop, bop, rolled it, and then the next morning woke up, and it was all black and blue. So we took her to urgent care, and they said, yeah, there's a fracture, and she broke that pinky toe, and they put her in that boot of shame. Anybody ever had the boot of shame? And poor thing had to go to school with that boot of shame, and you got one. You know, you do your, and in fourth grade, like everything matters. You like got the thing, the outfit and the hair, and the little pieces right here and the spray and the smell good and the whole thing. And one shoe's looking fly. And then you just got the sock that's flapping in the wind and the boot of shame. You just come, stop, I'm gonna be right there. I'm coming right now. But I got this boot. I would chase you down if I didn't have this boot. But I'm gonna be there. She had the boot all week. And so we tried to kind of go, can we take the boot off? Because they said 1 to 2 weeks, and so 1 week went by this past Friday, and we took the boot off, and it still kind of hurt, and there was still some swelling, and it was still black and blue. It's on its way to get better, but it was messing with the way that she was stepping and messing with the way that she was walking. But if she wanted to get the healing and wanted to get the health back and get her step back, she had to remain in the boot. Am I preaching to somebody yet? You got to remain in the Spirit. I can't just step in the Spirit and get out after a week. I can't get in front of them or behind them or next to them. I got to keep in step with the Spirit. I got to remain in Him. I got to stay with Him. And so it blows my mind when people come to church once a month. Oh! And life is so crazy. And you know that your world is chaotic. And you're not keeping in step with the Spirit. You just stuck your toe in the Spirit. I just dabbled with it a little bit and went back to the world and went back to my life. And you're just wondering, I don't understand why life's so hard. I want the fruit. All you got is flesh. How do I fight for the fruit? I keep in step with the Spirit. Here's number two. Number two, I keep God's word in my heart. I keep God's word in my heart. This is so simple. I got to remember what He said. In John 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Did you know that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to remind you of what God's word has already said? How can He remind you if you haven't read His word? I have to keep God's word in my heart. In John 15, 7 through 8, it reads, "If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." There was this game that we used to play when we were kids. I don't know if you played this game called Telephone. Anybody remember that game? And you'd line up 10 people, and you'd kind of get this little catchy phrase, but the first person would get the phrase from somebody, and then the rest 9 of us would have, you know, la, 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 or headphones or something to distract us. And they give you a really kind of complicated phrase to see if telephone could pass it on to the next person, to the next person, to the next person, and they would give you something Brad Pitt likes buff bunnies down by the beach. Brad Pitt likes buff bunnies down by the beach. Okay, Brad Pitt likes buff bunnies down by the beach. And I go to the second person, and then they go, "Okay, Bad Bunny likes biscuits down by the bay." It's already messed up. It's already changed. And then the girl's like, "Bad Bunny likes biscuits by the bay? That's crazy. I don't even like Bad Bunny like that. Okay." And then she goes to the next person and goes, "Beautiful Betty likes bunnies with Bad Bunny." By the third person and the fourth person, and it's changed. Here's what I wrote down. Here's the danger, because I hear the word on Sunday, but I've forgotten it by Monday. Put that up there. Here's the danger. If you forget what He said, you'll just follow how you feel. I heard it on Sunday, but by Wednesday, it's la la la. It's Bad Bunny and beaches and bay. There is no more Brad Pitt. I heard it here, forgot it 2 days later. The danger is if you forget what God said, you'll just follow how you feel. How do you feel lately? I don't know about you, but I cannot follow how I feel. Because every day I don't wake up with this list right here. I don't wake up with love all the time. I don't wake up with joy. I don't wake up with peace. I wake up with frustration a lot of days. I wake up with impatience. Lord, forgive me. I wake up with a lack of self-control. I don't have all the faith in the world. Some days I wake up and I don't have faith. I got to borrow somebody's faith. And praise God, I have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, and He reminds me of what I've read before. Then I know what He said. And I don't live by how I feel. I live by God's word. And so it's no wonder that we're living by the flesh, being led by the flesh, dying by the flesh, because you don't know any verses, but we've all memorized the flesh. You've been reading 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And Second Opinions 2:19, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know nothing. You got to keep God's word on your heart so that when the crazy comes and the dark starts to doom and the flesh starts to flare, I double down and I remember His word because I'm fighting for the Spirit in my life. Here's number three. I got to keep my calling close. I'm fighting for the Spirit. I'm fighting for the fruitfulness of the Spirit to come in my life. And so number one, I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit. Number two, I'm gonna keep God's word in my heart. I remember what He said. And number three, I'm gonna keep my calling close. Did you know that you've been chosen? Just the fact that you're here today proves it. that God's been calling you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to sit down and go, tell me about your day. Tell me what's been going on. No, this is what I'm here for. I called you. The scriptures tell us in John 15, verse 16, Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. There's something that has longevity, everlasting fruit. Jesus says, I picked you. You're my very best. In fact, I picked you just as you are right where you are. In the middle of all your mess, I picked you. I called you. I chose you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things of God that he has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. And so God, by his Spirit, is revealing to you that you've been called. He's revealing to you that you have a future, you have a hope, you have a great purpose. I have a calling on my life. I can't afford to get sideways. You can't afford to get distracted by the flesh because there's too much at stake, isn't there? I hope you know that. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake in your life. There's too much at stake in your marriage. And if you don't believe that, there's too much at stake for your kids. There's too much at stake for your finances. God has a purpose for your finances, but you're just all distracted with the flesh. And God says, no, I want you to fight for the Spirit's leading in your life. First, keep in step with me the whole way. Walk with me, stay with me, remain in me. Then remember what I've said to you. The Holy Spirit's gonna remind you of what I've called you to. And number three, double down that I am called. I am chosen. I am anointed. I am greater than greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am the head, not the tail. My days ahead are better than the days behind. God's got a plan for me, a purpose for me. In the middle of what I'm going through, God can still use you. God can still fill you. God can still bring his strength through you. I've been called by God. I've been anointed by God. So when my flesh starts to flare, I remember that I've been chosen. I've been called. And God is inviting us to fight for the Spirit's leading in our life that produces the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let me close with a story about this vineyard, many vineyards in Burgundy and Champagne, France. About 6 years ago, they were battling not the flesh, but a freeze. And we can put that picture up here. Here's a picture of the great freeze in Burgundy and Champagne, France. And there were acres and acres, thousands of acres of vineyards that bloomed too soon. And then a sudden freeze came overnight and froze all the vines. About a third of the wine was at stake of being lost. That's their economy. That's their livelihood. That's how they stay alive through what they're producing. This picture reminds me of some of our lives, that there are some of us that have frozen hard fruit in us. There is no fruit. Well, the proof is in the fruit, but there's no evidence of fruit. It's dying. It's frozen. There's nothing there. A third of the church doesn't have any evidence of God doing anything in them. Here's what they did in Burgundy and Champagne, France, to try to save the fruit. They brought in thousands of oil-burning lanterns and candles to heat the vines, attempting to save the fruit and preparing the produce to produce more fruit. Here's that picture right there. Every single place where there was dying fruit, they took this fire and they lit it underneath the fruit to heat it, to warm it, to bring it back to life. And I love that picture because if you don't get it already, it is the image and the picture of the Holy Spirit's indwelling work inside of every believer. That may look like I don't have any fruit. My heart is cold. My heart is hard. I've been living by the flesh. Well, you're that frozen picture. But the Holy Spirit has come to light a spiritual lamp in your life and to consume up everything that is not of him and to set your life on fire for the work of the Lord because he's called you to a great and mighty purpose. That's what God can do in your life. Come on, clap your hands and give God praise and thank the Lord that his Holy Spirit has the power in your life. He consumes us because he wants to produce the good fruit of love and joy, again, peace. What do you need? Patience? kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. My last verse, Romans 8, says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You don't have to do it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Today, God has called you to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray life over you right now. Would you put your hands out in front of you in a posture of receiving? I'm going to speak some life over you today. If you walked in today feeling spiritually dead, spiritually lonely, walked in feeling like my whole life is dying right now. There's a bit of me as someone I know who spiritually is lost. They're far off. Receive this life today. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that your word reminds us that we don't have to live according to the flesh. There is a battle being waged, but it's not with you. We are not at odds with the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives right now. Holy Spirit, come, fill the room, fill this place. Receive him by faith today. If you haven't been baptized, you're a Bible-believing Christian, but you have yet to be baptized in the Spirit, receive him by faith right now and say, Holy Spirit, consume my life, take over. I yield myself to your ways and to your power, to the fruit that you want to produce in me. You're going to change me. And then be expectant for the miraculous. Be expectant for God to do something incredible. There may be someone here today that maybe before you even get there, you just need to know Jesus, the gift giver. And if that's you, I want you to pray this prayer in the quiet of your heart. It's as simple as ABC. I want you to admit that you're a sinner. Say that in your heart. I admit, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Say, I believe that you died for my sin, but I confess you as my Lord. Holy Spirit, now fill my life. Fill my life. Thank you for loving me. I love you. Now, as everybody's heads are still bowed, as your eyes are closed, in a reverent moment across all of our campuses, if you prayed that prayer, that salvation prayer, to give your life to Jesus, listen to what I'm saying, for the very first time, or as a prayer of recommitment, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand nice and high so I can see you. I want to speak a blessing of your life. You prayed that prayer to receive Jesus, to recommit your life, because you're not going back to the flesh, you're living a life by the Spirit. On the count of three, one, two, three, hands nice and high if you prayed that prayer. Awesome. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Incredible. God bless you. I see you up top. God bless you at our campuses. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you. Lord, thank you for every hand, every person that said yes to you. Holy Spirit, fill them up fresh today. Consume up anything in us that is not of you. Set us on a course of purpose and faith and power for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Can we thank the Lord, church, for his word today?